Hi, I'm Allison Hare, a former corporate executive on a quest to help you and me create a little more space and freedom in our busy lives. Welcome to the Late Learner Podcast, where we break down old, tired paradigms, you know, like the ones we've all been taught to live in. And here we discover more modern approaches that just plain work better for you. So what are we late learning today? Well, let's talk about your support systems, specifically the ones online. Are you part of Facebook groups? Are you part of any masterminds? Are there mom groups, places that you trust? And honestly, the real question is, online or offline, do you feel supported? Like for real? Let's say you've got a sticky situation at work. Who do you trust that can help mentor you through it? Or let's say your teenage daughter is really spiraling out of control. You've gone to every therapist, you've tried everything, you are at your wit's end. Who is the person that you call? Or your relationship with your partner, arguably the closest relationship you have to another human. Who do you turn to who can be completely honest with you and be trusted when your marriage looks like it's falling apart? And good Lord, if you have your own business, whether you have people working for you or you're running solo, it is lonely. I am not going to sugarcoat it. And in today's day and age where there's so much pressure to keep it all together and not be a burden to anyone, I would argue that having a community, like a really trusted group of people to support you, is more important than ever. There is no medal of achievement for figuring out everything yourself and accidentally running yourself into the ground. Seriously, stop it. Stop it. I'm saying this to myself too. Today, we're chatting with Dana Malstaff. She is the founder of Boss Mom, which is a renowned online community. Dana is an expert in building thriving online communities, and she excels in messaging and marketing. But I want you to listen really closely here. She's especially focused on supporting moms who run businesses, but she offers a really unique perspective on balancing motherhood and entrepreneurship. And she believes that you can raise your babies and your businesses at the same time. And what we do in our conversation today is we are breaking down the state of motherhood right now. And I promise you, you're going to leave this episode with a completely new outlook that is far more empowering and much more modern. Just our speed, right? And by the way, personally, I have gotten to work with Dana and she is a damn genius on another level. And today we get her. Now, before we get to our talk with Dana, let's get to the good stuff. What is stuff? It's the surprisingly true, useful fun fact. And as we're approaching the end of the school year, and for many, many parents, God, I've had so many conversations recently about this. The big milestones, they leave us a little more wistful and a lot unsteady. A new study out of New York by Stokke, I'm not sure if that's how you pronounce it, S-T-O-K-K-E, conducted by OnePoll. What they found is that most parents would sacrifice anything to go back in time with their kids. And interestingly enough, most parents would give up social media, work, time off, dining out to get one more day back when their child was two, citing that kids really do grow up too fast. I know this fun fact is kind of a no shit, but also like a relatable way, like I get it, right? I've had so many conversations with friends that are moving on to become empty nesters or their babies are graduating and it's just a real thing. My son is about to head off to middle school and honestly, he was just taking his first steps 5 seconds ago. So if you're in this boat, my heart is with you and as always, you are not alone. Now let's get to our chat with Dana Malstaff, founder of Boss Mom Community. It is a business, a book, a podcast, and so much more. Okay, I have all the hard eyes for our guest today, and it's an inside joke, but we are here with Dana Malstaff. Dana, welcome to the Late Learner Podcast.
Oh, thank you. And I resonate so much with that title because I am a very, very late bloomer. Did not get good grades in school. Thought that maybe I'm just not a very smart person. I didn't even get boobs until I was like 16. So it's like I'm late on learning, on blooming, on all the things. And I love it.
You're our people. Well, your background, having a lot of experience and success in marketing, in strategy, but particularly working with mothers that are doing a business and doing their own business. So you having access and having really the inside scoop of how women are showing up today as mothers, it has changed. So I need to know, why moms?
Yeah. Well, it's funny too, because you mentioned it's so different today, but in some ways the opportunities are so different, but the emotions are all the same, right? Like I remember when I say I quit my job, I'll do air quotes, I quit my job back in corporate, but really the husband and wife of the company I worked for got a divorce. And so they were firing everybody that like the husband had hired. And I was in that band, in that camp. I went and told the guy who was kind of doing all, you know, going through the process of everything. And I just told him like, hey, I see what's happening. Let's have lunch and let's figure out a plan. So I mustered up all the courage I've ever had. This was before I had kids. And I went to lunch and was like, hey, I see this. Give me 90 days so I can find something else and I can train up my team and that kind of stuff. And I thought it was so brave. Like I fought back tears. Then I went to go find a job and there was nothing I wanted. And I had already had like a voice in my ear from a mentor saying like, you should just go be a consultant. You'd make more money. You'd have more freedom. And we'd been trying to get pregnant and it wasn't working because I was working 14-hour days as a director. He was in banking and he was working, you know, it was these long hours. And so, yeah, I couldn't find a job I really wanted to work for, a place I really wanted to work. And that's when I realized, wow, I could just work at a bunch of different places as a consultant and have way more freedom. Well, had New Year's, my last day at work, everybody takes me out, tequila shots, I get drunk. 6 weeks later, I'm pregnant. So my body was like, oh, okay, it's party time. Let's make this happen. So all of a sudden, I've like literally was a boss mom in the same 24 hours. I became an owner of my own thing and I got like same 24 hours. And my ex-husband used to say like, that sounds like too much information. I was like, yeah, if they can't handle where babies come from, right. Like you're not going to be able to handle running your own business. When I mentioned that like the emotions stay the same, that's because even today, at this very moment, there's probably hundreds of thousands, if not a million moms out there that are doing something. They're taking care of their babies because they're home or they're dabbling in something or they have their own business or they still have a career and they feel guilty because they want their kid to take a nap so they can get work done. They feel like they're never going to get where they want to go because their kids constantly distract them. I just did a reel and I joked the biggest productivity killer. And then I opened the kid's door and it's like, it's your kids, right? And the fact is that they want to connect with you when you need to wipe their own butt. And then when they can wipe their own butt, they want to show you how good they are at it. So like, no matter what, they're distracting. And that's so hard. So like those emotions are still the same. And I felt those emotions. So the reason I picked moms, the reason that happened is I was going to write a book. I'd always wanted to write a book. It was going to be called Expand Your Reach and it was going to be about online marketing. And when I got the coach and sat down to do the brainstorming and he really got me uncomfortable and like figuring out what it is I want to say, everything was about the mom part. Everything was about the guilt I felt, about how I knew, like I made a great living before I quit to start my own thing. Then I became a mom and it didn't feel like that motherhood was a six-figure job. Even though now I look back and I'm like, dude, it's like a multi-six figure job. It is a legit thing. If you went to a sales rep and you said, hey, I'm going to pay you according to how much money you make this company, right? I'm somebody as a mom who is raising the potential next inventor of Uber, the next person that is, you know, married to somebody, having kids with somebody, directing something, building something. Like, that's like being a sales. I'm literally building somebody that could change the future. That is worth a lot of value, but we don't see that as moms. And so I decided to write the Boss Mom book to just talk about this. Like, how do we raise businesses as moms or raise businesses and babies together at the same time? And it just, I think it's what at the time, it was 10 years ago, is nobody was saying out loud. Nobody was saying how hard it is. Nobody was giving people permission to feel that way. And then recognize we should be doing it anyway and that we should be that it's important for us to have businesses and things outside of our kids, because it's more important that your child sees that you're resilient than that you gave up everything you cared about to try and help them be resilient. And that's it. Just flourished and we boss mommed everything.
Well, I think what's interesting about what you have created with the boss mom community, you have you're known in the online marketing space for creating engaged, very large Facebook groups. People come to you. Some of the biggest influencers in the world come to you to help with messaging, help with marketing, help with community. But what I'm interested in learning about is, what is it that is missing from all of the other influencers, marketing things that are out there, that people come to you and the Boss Mom community? It almost feels like a permission to be seen and a permission to be heard, that there's no idea that's crazy, you know, like that'll never work. It's already been done. It feels like a more nurturing place. Yeah. So can you explain, how did you do that? Because it can be very challenging to build a very large, engaged, respectful Facebook group or community in general.
Yeah. I mean, there's a couple things that are really important for everybody. And this is part of why people come to me. So number one is, like Simon Sinek's book, Leaders Eat Last, right? Most people build their community where they're the center. They're it. They're the coach. They're the teacher. So they run the community as if they need to be teaching, they need to be telling, they need to be there all the time. One, that's exhausting. We just talked about how we don't even want to do that for our own kids. You know, we need space. We need this. So what we find is people manage instead of facilitate. A community is not managed. A community is facilitated. And the best kind of community is where we give enough space. We give the right kind of boundaries, but we give enough space for everybody to own their own piece of it, right? Because community has to be felt. Just because you guys live in a neighborhood together does not mean it's a community. A community is a shared vision. It's some people that are protecting each other. They're lifting each other up. Like, there's good communication. There's all these things. And so that's what I find, is I find there's a lot of people running Facebook groups. They have memberships. They have the stuff, but they don't have community. And they can see that in the difficulty in running it, the getting exhausted from it, the slow growth because they have to do all the work because other people aren't helping it grow, and from retention. People will leave the community or they'll leave the membership. And so that a lot of people will come to me and they'll go, I started this membership, I started this course, even paid, and I have too high of a refund rate, right? Because it just doesn't feel like I'm nurturing people in the right way. And I'll come in and we literally bring those from like 14 to 15% refund rate down to 0.01 refund rate. And it's only in an instance where they something happens, a catalyst happens, and the money is an actual issue. And so the facilitation is the number one, is that we have to look at community that we are leading. We are not managing a community, you lead a community. And that second part is, it has to have a shared vision of the future, which means you guys all have to agree on what's wrong with the world right now, right? And that's what you see works on social media right now, right? All the stuff that we talk about motherhood, where we've got to be more vocal about how ridiculous expectations of moms are, you know, and all of these things that are playful and funny or inspirational and serious. And we're all going, yes, I want to be a part of that, because that is the shared vision of the future. And then we can all agree that the way culturally, or we've been brought up as women, or the way we just all think, or whatever it is, needs to change. So we get to collectively feel like we're all moving in the same direction. A community has to be moving towards something, and then it has to help maintain that direction, has to maintain it. So that's how you get people within a Facebook group to actually come in and police it for you, in the sense of, like, you can't break these rules because we've got to keep the integrity of this community. And that's why you get people sharing your content and referring people back to you, right? It's those are the things, is the facilitation and the shared vision of the future. And then that third one is the permission to be human in whatever industry you're in. You're not going to give people permission to do everything, because there's no way we can have all the same beliefs about everything. But whatever your community is about, there has to be a shared permission that you're not crazy, you're not alone. Because in my space, there's a lot of conversations we don't have, because they're very heated conversations where there's no way for us to agree in this particular arena. But man, we give you permission to be a mom that wants to stay up late and work, wants your kids to take a nap, but also puts your business down for a while and takes care of your kids, that makes your kids a priority over your business, that grows a little slower, all of those things. And because of that, people feel accepted and connected and that belonging. So it's the facilitation, right? The shared vision of the future and the belonging. I mean, that's what we call your loyalty engine. Once you create that, people will literally like fight for you years to come. And then that way, when anybody else comes at you and tries to say you're not an awesome person or there's something wrong with you or they just want to be a jerk face, you don't even have to do anything because the cavalry shows up and it's like, that is not what this is about. Like you know, we're going to protect whoever it is and we're going to protect the community and we're going to protect what this stands for so that even if you go away, that essence still stays if you do it really well.
So I want to pause right there. First of all, there's so much there. And there is a loneliness epidemic out there. Being a mother, being a working mother, and trying to show up as you are without being a Debbie Downer and being a complainer, but like being resourceful and helping. I think on one aspect, if I can reflect back what I've heard, is that if you are somebody who is seeking community and finding a place where you feel like you can be your authentic self, you aren't being trampled on or, you know, ignored or whatever it is, like that's a good sign that this is a place where you can feel like you belong and feel welcomed. But on the other side of it, I do think it is a cultural commentary about groups and communities in general. It has been said that Facebook groups have already gone away. Like maybe they're looking at Mighty Networks or some other way to have a closed community, but yours is thriving. Do you think it is because there are a couple of bad seeds where it's just too much? Do you feel like Facebook groups are still relevant?
Oh, they can be totally relevant. I mean, I remember being at Social Media Marketing World to speak and I had somebody come up and they got introduced to me and they were on, you know, YouTube. And they had asked me, and I was like, oh, I'm talking about Facebook groups and community. And they're like, is Facebook still a thing? And I was like, yeah, that was like 6 years. I was like, yeah, there's like a billion people that use it. It's a thing, you know, it's a thing. But because she wasn't in it, that's like if somebody asked me about Twitter, I'd be like, is Twitter still a thing? Right. Are we over Twitter by now? And then, because I don't hang there, that's not where I hang. I think that there is very specific industries that are trying to move off of Facebook because Facebook either censors you in that space. So medical, political, religious, like those kinds of things where there is a movement away because of privacy, because of wanting to be vocal about certain things that they won't allow you. So places like apps like Circle, where you can build really good community and it's also an app. Mighty Networks is okay. And then there's some ones that are coming about like Circle that are meant for that. Those can work really, really well. But I see this all the time where people go, I'm going to then create a community that's over in this completely other place that nobody's really quite using yet. And it's harder to build a community because people are already logging into these places. They're logging it. Like they log into Facebook. Most people, and if you're targeting 20-year-olds, you're not going to build it on Facebook, right? If you're targeting 30, 35-year-olds and moms, they're still all on Facebook. Like they're still all there. They're still all doing it until the point where there's something that is actually better. I wouldn't say that there is going to be a massive change because they just make it so easy to log in, to get notifications, to see those things. So those are still there. The big part is that there's a lot of people that are in spaces like Facebook groups, and it's to grow their business. It's to, you know, do those things, but they're not communities. And so they're leavable, right? It's like I can go in there and I can get what I need, but I'm just coming in to get what I need. There is no reciprocity there. If you create a community like Boss Mom, then it becomes a little bit like your home. And even if you go away for a while, you come back because you've met your friends there. We've helped you connect with people. We've helped you feel like this is a space that understands you and keeps good boundaries so that you know it's not going to lose its integrity. Those things are different. And that's the big difference is people think that Facebook groups are gone because there's so many places that they hop. They're like dating. Mm-hmm. It's like speed dating. They get what they need. They leave. Communities are a place that you don't. Even if you go away for a while, you come back. And there's just fewer of them because people don't think of it that way. And when people start businesses or start something and then they build a Facebook group, it's just people don't realize that building community is a skill, right? Like if you had a pastor of a church or a community director or something like that, like they have a skill of bringing people together. There's a skill, like certain people that get up on a stage and can like rally the troops, as my dad would say, get everybody pumped up. That's a skill. And so I think people come in thinking, oh, I'll just run this space. And I get this all the time. I've seen people that have huge Facebook groups and huge spaces, but they're getting a fraction of the engagement and nobody cares. And people come and go, and that they come to me and it's like, yeah, I just figured I would start this thing and then it would all work. And everybody, you know, and they don't understand. There is a way human beings work that creates engagement, creates loyalty, and that you facilitate. And it's not just a group.
I love that.
That doesn't work. It's just like a family. It's like, you don't just get to have kids and have a family and then you all have a great relationship. Like it's a skill you learn.
So I imagine you working with mothers that are entrepreneurs that are kind of doing their own thing. What kind of trends, how would you describe the state of motherhood and business today versus the expectations of what was put on us?
Yeah. Well, I think any woman who's 35 or older, but I'd say maybe like, especially like 35 to 50 is totally screwed because we were brought up in this belief of female independence and being able to do everything ourselves and, but also wanting to be a really good, caring parent and all these things. So we basically don't understand, like it's deep within our psyche that I'm going to be able to fix the kitchen sink and like take out the trash and then also go to work and or have a business and make all the money to pay all the bills. But then also I'm going to not just have kids that I love. I'm going to actually tutor, like teach them and hang out with them and do all these things and go to all of their games and do all, you know, it's a completely unsustainable system. I feel this deep in my soul. And
I think that anybody under the 35 or somewhere in that range, but that from the younger generation
is being able to break free of that. I'd like to think when our daughters are old enough that they will have been freed from that notion altogether, that the idea of accepting help, accepting love, and the idea that being able to do things and doing all the things has nothing to do with your independence or your worth or your kick-assness. Like those have nothing to do with each other. Right? Like I should be able to have somebody else help me do something. I should be able to have a partner that does things that help out around the house and help with the kids. And I should be able to have all of those things and have a business or not and still be a completely amazing independent woman. Like depending upon people and being an independent human being are two completely mutually exclusive concepts that have nothing to do with each other. And I'm hoping the next generation gets that feeling. We're seeing that on social media as being a thing. So I'm excited for that. For everybody else, we have to get a lot of life coaching. Like part of what you do is in the existence of that need. Like that women need therapy. We need coaching. We need like the meeting with people who force you to say things out loud and like weep like a baby and feel it in your body to let go of the trauma of trying to be all things to everybody and being the people pleaser. So I'm loving those trends and I'm loving that business, like I have a deep belief, we're talking about this in the new updated Boss Mom book, but this deep belief that we start our businesses, right? We think we're starting our businesses to make money. We're like, of course, I'm going to start a business and I'm going to make all this money. And it's going to be great. But when we start to recognize that our business is a mirror for us to see all the ways that we are scared to be seen, that we don't feel like we're enough, we don't feel like we're pretty enough, we don't feel like we're smart enough, we don't feel like we're, you know, we have unique ideas. Oh, I hear this all the time. I don't have unique ideas. Somebody else is already saying that. I'm not unique enough.
Hi, it's Allison. Thanks for listening. If you are going through a big change or contemplating a shift in your life, maybe it's career, marriage, divorce, new business, a big move, blended family, maybe things are falling apart or you're just looking to get some damn space in your calendar and you're committed to coming out on the other side victorious. If you're in this boat, let's talk. There is something so powerful about having someone in your corner helping you clear the path for your next version of yourself, the one of your own design. I only have 3 spots left for redesign coaching. So be sure to schedule a free discovery call with me at allisonhair.com/schedule. Let's get back to our chat.
right? Like I'm not all of these things that somebody else is. And so we start our business and then we go, oh my gosh, I'm having a hard time recording that thing or getting interviewed or putting myself out there because it's scary. I don't feel like I'm valuable enough to ask for that pricing. And then it becomes this mirror back to us and we are forced to go into self-development to make money. And it's kind of a brilliant thing because we would have never given ourselves the space or the resources to do that. It's the catalyst to go, wait a second, I feel like making money should be easier. Maybe I need to do the self-development so that I can go and make more money. And so the pursuit of what we think is the pursuit of money is actually causing us to find ourselves in our business. And because of that, the advent of everybody going on and starting their own online business might be the best self-development revolution that ever happens.
This is huge. Dana, this is huge. And I've heard you say this before, I think on your podcast with me on it. Thank you for that. What if our daughters are the last, or we are the last generation to suffer like we have? And it really has turned in my brain for the past couple of weeks of, is there a way to minimize the suffering? Because all the generations before us have suffered in whatever format that is. But it was an interesting thought of what if our daughters could figure it out at 15, at 18? Is that possible?
Oh, heck yeah. I mean, right now, think about it. We hear it's in marketing. It's really funny for me to hear something and then I'll go, oh, that's so like gut health. It's so hot right now. Like childhood trauma, so hot right now. But it is. It's the topics. The topics are hot and trending because we want to talk about it. Yeah. People are ready. Like 5-10 years ago, they weren't. They weren't ready. They were ready to talk about gluten. And that was 5-10 year ago, right? But now we're ready to talk about gut health. Now we're ready to talk about these different things. That's a really powerful thing. So right now, we're all hearing that our childhood traumas are all these things about how we are as an adult and all this stuff. That still may be true. Like there's no way for as humans for things people say. I mean, I hear what freaking my third and fourth graders all say to each other. Like there's no way they're not traumatizing each other. Right. Like that's just going to happen. They're traumatizing each other. So it's like, I don't even need to do anything. They're all jerk faces to each other. But what if they didn't question that therapy and talking to coaches and doing some inner work was valuable? Right? Like I do nightly, we call it nightly torture. And my kids and I do stretching and we do rolfing because hit by a car when I was a kid. So it's like, rolfing is they do it in sports a lot. It's the white muscle, like over your muscles is called fascia. And it's a lot of what has to do with cellulite. So if you do rolfing, you don't have the same kind of cellulite you would. It's kind of brilliant. I have no cellulite and I am 43. So it's rolfing. But every night we do that. My kids, we crack our backs. We do the exercises. We stretch our hamstrings. We do these things. And I want them to grow up feeling like that is normal. Like a yoga, the stretching, that flexibility is valuable and important. I want them to grow up feeling like they can come to me and say, Mom, I don't know why, but I'm just feeling kind of sad today and I don't really understand it. I want them to come to me and go, you know what? I don't feel comfortable doing this or going here. Like, could we do something else? Or this is really important to me, Mom. I'd really like you to be here. I want them to feel like they can say those things out loud, which is sadly not things we thought we could do in the past, right? And there's this one way families were, and I want them to feel that. So I do believe that everybody's still going to be traumatized by life. Right. Life is traumatizing. But I would love if they recognize that it's fluid, that they can talk about it, that they can verbalize it, they can let it go. Like there's a book called, I think, Letting Go. And it's just a concept of how we have this meditation of letting things out of our body emotionally so that we can move through things and deal with life. Yeah, I think we could teach that a heck of a lot earlier just by accepting that it's there and we can deal with it and move through it. That emotions, a well-balanced day is not a day where you're happy all day. A well-balanced day is where you experience all of the emotions one could feel and you moved through them and you still felt satisfied when you went to bed. Like that's what a well-balanced day should look like. And if we move towards that, then we'd stop beating ourselves up and like holding in trauma of not wanting to verbalize things because we worried that it makes us weak or it makes us dumb or it makes us unworthy. And we start to recognize that every freaking human being, including everybody we look up to, deals with all of these things all of the time, and we just don't see it. And therefore, we judge ourselves. But if we let that go, yeah, our kids could be brilliant and still have the same struggles we have now, but they'd move through them faster and advance farther and be happier.
I think everything that you describe sounds amazing, but it also feels like what would happen if shame was removed? And I wonder, what have you late learned by having access to mothers that are really pouring their heart and soul into their business, into serving others, into having something?
Yeah. I mean, there's a couple things. I mean, number one, I think there's two things that go along. There's shame, right? Which the actual shame is the actual feeling like you've done something you regret, right? There's that shame. Like there's a shame of who you are. There's a dirtiness to shame, right? I think most of our moms aren't feeling shame. They're feeling embarrassment. Mm-hmm. I think embarrassment is from what I've seen of our market is a better word because shame means that you know you did something. You know you did something and you don't want to have done and you feel shameful about what it is that you did, right? You made a bad decision and you feel shameful about it. Most of our women don't know what decision to make. They feel lost. They feel a little bit lost because they have this desire inside of them. They can't quite put their finger. And a lot of women have, we talk about this in the new Boss Mom book, a lot of women have a bit of a hole inside of them. Like you talk about this, right? It's the women that are like, hi, I have a loving husband. I have good kids. You know, we've got a home. We've got some stability. But I'm not, I'm feeling a little empty inside. I'm feeling a little bit of a hole. I'm desiring to do these outside things. And a lot of times it's because we think good is okay. Like that's what I think we're moving out of. I think we've gone through a century of women going, as long as it's good, then it's good enough, to a set of women who goes, yeah, I have a good husband, but I want a great relationship with my husband. I want a husband who loves to see me naked and we make out all the time, even when we have kids. And I want a husband who flirts with me and we know, you know, we care about each other and we have trust and we have this, we can communicate. Like I want that husband. Right. And then we got women who are like, yeah, I have good kids, but I want kids that I freaking want to go travel with. And it's the best time of our lives. I want kids that we get to be honest with each other and connect, that they can watch me cry and I can watch them cry. Like I want those kids. Like I want a good business, but I don't just want a career that's okay. Like I want to freaking change the world. So I love that I can see women. There is hope. It's a very scared, reluctant hope, right? Because there's so many people that say, I'm 20 and I never had kids and I made $1 million by the time, you know, in the first 6 months, right? And you can too. And then you have moms like 3 years in going, this is not my experience. Right. And so there's the fear, but there is hope. But the great part is just that the biggest thing I see is that they're scared because they're embarrassed that maybe they're not going to do it right. They're not going to be as good. They're not going to be worthy. That embarrassment of putting yourself out there and maybe tripping and falling. But they're starting to open up the windows and just demand more. That's what I'm seeing, is that their moms are just starting to demand more of themselves, of their relationships, of their success, of their abilities, of their bucket lists. They're just demanding more. And I think we're just going to see that more like escalate and escalate and escalate until it just explodes. And I do think there's going to be a switch right now. It is a female dominated kind of feeling that is a men aren't needed kind of thing. And I think we're starting to move back into that space of men are needed and they're lovely and they're great human beings. Just like there's some crappy women, there's some crappy guys, but all in all, we kind of make a good team, men and women, and men have certain needs and desires and ways they want to feel loved, and women have those same ways. And I think we can move into, we'll start moving more into a space of unity in that. And I'm seeing women and a lot of life coaches and parenting coaches and relationship coaches move in this direction too, of like, how do we stop trying to be singular, like we don't need anybody? And how do we start moving into a space where we recognize how we can be most communicative and useful and loving to each other, which I'm all about community, family unit, business unit, external community to world community. Like I'm all about it. So if we can find a place where we all can wake up in the morning and feel valued, valuable, and seen, I mean, like, who could stop us, you know?
I feel like this is coming up more and more, that we try, or it has been celebrated, of just being a fighter, being a warrior. I can do it myself. I don't want to be a burden on anybody else. I don't want to complain. I don't want to be a Debbie Downer. I'm just going to handle it myself, and I'm going to overhandle it myself because I'm overfunctioning. I'm a workaholic. I can do it all. And I think you are right, where having the connection and the connectivity part, and I see that you're writing, and I'm saying this for people in the audience, because what Dana does is she will hear what people say, and then she'll write it, and she'll turn it into some incredible marketing copy. It's pretty fun to watch, but...
You caught me.
I just think it's amazing the way your brain works, is that you're always listening. It's like you're tuning into the frequency, and then you're looking, you're seeking understanding. But I think that connectivity part, I think you're right. That is the next step of how do we connect more intentionally? How do we not go to mindless networking events and shallow lunches with people where like, you can be more intentional. That what does it look like to really curate and craft your support circle, and what that looks like through all of those methods? And I wonder, like, what do you know that you wish other people could know?
Well, one thing you said is the thing I wrote down, because I was like, oh, I want to hit on this, because this is deep in my heart. It's also one of the bedrock concepts of community and loyalty, and it pertains to your family. It can be your romantic relationship. It can be your friendships, your business, your clients, your everything, is that people want to be useful. Mm-hmm. We naturally, as human beings, we want to be useful. So, and I've had to go through therapy for this, like literally had to like have coaches bring me through like trauma release therapy for this idea that I need to be useful. I need to save people. I need to be a martyr for people. I need to, like you said, like give more, do more. I never want to be a burden. Like this, if like I would start to cry at the idea that if I got sick, who would love me enough to take care of me? And I used to be so scared that like, oh my God, I have to take such good care of my body and my health, because if I got sick, everybody would just leave me. Like, what use do I have if I'm not doing everything? Like, oh my goodness. Like it used to be so scary. That's like, I can't, like, I have to make sure everything is perfect. And that's not useful. And I had to go through, therapy for them to shift my mindset to go, okay, if you feel such a deep desire to be useful, right, that the thought of you not being useful makes you cry, what do you think you are keeping from other people in terms of their happiness by you taking their usefulness away from them? Whew. Right? Like, what do you do when you're so overachieving that your husband doesn't get to be useful, that your kids don't get to be useful? What are you depriving them of in terms of their joy and feeling of purpose in life, that you have not only taken on that burden, but you have deprived the people you love of the ability to feel that feeling you feel when you are being useful? How selfish of you are you? And dude, they talked about me being like, you start telling that, oh, I'm selfish for not allowing the people in my life to be useful by taking that usefulness away from them and giving it to myself. I broke down and I was like, wow, when you say it that way, I'm a huge jerk face by doing everything. And that was a huge turning point for me, because I looked at my kids and I go, hey kids, and my dad passed away near this time, and I got a divorce a year before that. And I started going, wow, if I could, even at my kids being like 4 and 6, like if my kids want to be useful, how could I do that? And I would tell them, I'm feeling really sad today. Like, it would be really helpful. You'd be helping me out by doing this or telling me this or doing this. And they would rise to the occasion. Like, my daughter, 5 years old, learned how to make coffee in the morning, because I was like, wow, it feels really hard to like get you guys up and get things going. Like, I'd really love some help, because that would be really great. And we'd be a team. And they'd be like, what do you need? And I'd be like, well, you know, I never get coffee. I never even get to get coffee. So my daughter at 5 years old learned how to make coffee and would get up in the morning and make me coffee so that I could have it in the morning, you know, and the kids. And so from when you're sad to when and you need it to just when you're trying to be a team. And in your romantic relationship, like, find out from your partner, how they can feel useful, how they can feel like they connect to protect you. Like my partner, we jokingly, I call him when I walk the trash out at night. And I'm like, hey, like just in case I get kidnapped, I'm just letting you know since you're not physically here. And that you're protecting me verbally. And he's like, I freaking love that you do that. Because just that you're giving me the opportunity to feel like I get to protect you because I'm very protective of you makes him feel useful. Even though it's a gesture, it's just a gesture. But man, we freaking take it away from people. Us women are draining our children's and our friends and our partners and our clients' ability to be useful by assuming all of that responsibility ourselves, and we have to let it go. Otherwise, we're going to end up having a bunch of kids that feel bad about themselves and partners that feel useless. And what world would that be?
I know if you're listening to this as a listener, you're probably saying, all right, fine. I'm going to make my kids do chores because that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, all right, kids, I'm going to teach you how to make eggs and whatever. I think that is beautiful. I think it's brilliant. Again, it's that connectivity. And maybe that's just through my own lens because it keeps coming up in a lot of different areas of what does it take to build the right team around you and to share how you feel. And what I did not want to skip over because I think it's really important is you saying to your daughter, I'm feeling sad today, and not covering that up as well. And I think there is such a power in normalizing that it's okay to wake up sometimes and not feel great or have things go wrong where like our generation, our parents have been taught you never show weakness. You don't show that's not their problem to deal with. Like you protect them at all costs. They need their childhood. They need their innocence. They don't need to hear about our problems. But I think this is a much more evolved way to be. And this podcast is called Late Learner. As you know, what have you learned lately that you were wrong about?
Like everything. The couple things that the idea that like definitely context, what I've grown at, like as I've grown up, I've recognized everything has to come with context. That's why in Facebook groups, there's a lot of rules we have about what you can and can't do in the group because there is no context in that one sentence reply you gave, right? There, because in the context of like, I'm going to make my kids do chores. We don't make our kids do chores. We bring the context to the conversation that we're a team, right? And I use a lot of humor. So I'm like, well, do you think I'm a, like, do you look at me as a slave? Like, do you look at me as the person that has to do everything for you? Or do you look at us like a team? Like, how do you see this family? I want to understand your perspective. And they would talk about it. And then I go, okay, well, you can recognize from my perspective if like I'm just expected to drop everything and make you food right now, even though I'm right in the middle of something, like how would that make me feel? And so we have a conversation around how our actions make each other feel. And then, okay, if we're a team, what does a team look like? What does a team do for each other? Like, and how can we facilitate when that happens? So my son will be like, well, I really like after school, I want to play Fortnite for a little while and relax. I don't want to have to do homework. Okay, all right, well, so if I gave you an hour, then we're going to do that. But if you're complaining after the hour, then I feel bad. So how can we, and so you just start to have a conversation like your kids are fully formed human beings. That idea that your kids are fully formed human beings and that their reality is true for them and my reality is true for me, and we have to figure out how they merge and work on it together. Like that is something I've learned later in life. Everything has to have context. Otherwise, everybody takes everything out of context all the time.
Sure.
Like all the time. And so that was something that I learned, the late blooming aspect. Definitely the way you say things matters. Saying sorry sooner, immediately, even if you feel like it wasn't your fault, but not saying sorry for things you shouldn't be sorry for. That is a thing I learned late, which is a nuanced skill in itself. I've definitely learned late that I care now, and I look better and I'm healthier in my 40s than I ever was in my 30s, because before I'd make fun of the, you know, don't use plastic because of the environment. I'm like, well, I don't use plastic most of the time because of my health. Like I do care about that. Like the learning about my body, learning about all the things where I was like, I don't want to get injections. I don't want to have fake things on. Like I'm too lazy for all of those things. So what does that look like? And I started caring more, and then I'm kicking myself for being 40 when I finally figured out like the way that works to work out for me, that works for me, like the way to eat that works for me, the like way to get myself to stop doing bad habits that works for me. Like took 40 years to figure that stuff out. I'd love it if my kids were younger. But the great part is I feel better at 40. Like, I wondered if at 40 I'd go, well, I might as well give up. If I haven't accomplished it now, when am I going to accomplish it? I don't feel that way at all. Like, I'm at 40 going like, we are just getting started. Like, the party is about to begin and I am revved up for it. 40s are going to be so great. I assume 50s are going to rock. 60s are going to be awesome. I assume by the time I'm 60, we're going to have science advanced to where I'll be able to be as old as I want to be. And and that is a great feeling to know that the older I get, I don't feel less capable or less like I'm late to the party. I feel more confident that I am bringing the party. And like, that's a really great feeling as you get older, if you own it.
And I think what is embedded in all of that is permission. That I think is the hardest part, but it is the first step because we've been taught otherwise. Like, it's going 100%. From I should be to what can I do? What do I want to do? Dana, how can people get in touch with you and get your new book? Tell me about the new updated Boss Mom. Tell us.
Yes. Yeah. And by the way, that's the what you just said is the reason why community is so important, because if we surround ourselves with people who make you feel dumb, make you feel embarrassed, make you feel like you make bad decisions, or make you question your beauty, your intelligence, your capability, your worthiness. And even you can even be surrounded by people who don't realize they do it, who love you, but don't love you in a way where you feel loved. If you don't truly tackle that first, and I know you talk a lot about friendships and relationships, like if you don't tackle that first, then you're going to, without realizing it, sabotage your ability to feel worthy and enough for the rest of your entire life. Like you have, and there's a lot of people in your life that will change with you. They're up for it. They're down for it. You know, they want it. They just don't know how. And then the people that aren't willing to go along the self-development journey with you, you have to be okay with letting them go. Like, that is number one. Cause what you talked about, the first step of worthiness, you can put yourself in a trap where people make you feel bad about yourself without realizing it. And it's like, that's the first trap you have to get out of. As far as getting in touch with me.
How can people work with you?
If you just go to boss-mom. Yeah, boss-mom.com will get you to all the places. It'll get you to the podcast. It'll get you to the Facebook group. It'll get you to our Instagram. It gets you to all the places, which is awesome. And you always just look up my name, Dana Malstaff, is like on our social media stuff. So that's really easy. The book originally came out in 2015. It was the beginning of the Boss Mom brand. I have a completely, obviously, new, different, more in-depth look at life. And I've interviewed, talked to, and taught over 30,000 women. So it is a big number of people we've had as students, we've had as clients. And I talk to women. I mean, you know, I'm constantly in conversation. I am not a hands-off person. I don't know how to be. And so the book is completely redone. And when it comes out, I am a smart mom who knows not to give a very specific date until we are closer to all the things. Otherwise, the universe is going to like throw some random thing at me. But it's going to be out in spring, so late spring. And I'm super excited about it because I think it's going to change everything. I think it's going to become the staple that moms have in their back pocket. And then we're going to jump right into developing the Boss Mom app, which is like a calm app for moms. That is, I'm so excited about it. And that is where we're hoping that will come out like Labor Day-ish about time. And then, and I think that's when all the magic is going to start to really, really happen. Cause I think every mom should start a business, even if it's a side hustle, just a regular business that gets you vacation money, or a business that is a six figure, or when you retire your husband for, whatever it is. Like, I think everybody should, because it's a self-development journey that is unparalleled. And I think we'd all be better.
Dana, you are a treasure. Thank you so much for sharing with us today and for the way you show up in the world. And for me personally, you know, I'm all the hard eyes for you. So thank you so much for being here.
Aw, I'm all the hard eyes for you too.
Yes. Tana Mall staff is not only so relatable, but so freaking brilliant. I just love her, her energy, her ideas, her quirkiness. She just launched the Boss Mom Plus community, of which I am a part, and I'll link it in the show notes for you so you can join us and have a trusted space that helps all of us grow. I will also put in the show notes all the ways to get in touch with her. Definitely follow her on social media. She always nails it and has such a different approach that works. Now you, what's going on? I would be remiss if I didn't ask you if you're considering a lifestyle change right now, meaning you're running too hard and too fast and you don't know how to get out of it. Let's talk. I'm offering a free discovery call. No obligation at allisonhair.com/schedule. I would love to see what you're working towards and offer some guidance and affirmation for what's next for you. As always, I've linked everything in the show notes. Thank you so much for listening and sharing this podcast and these ideas with your friends. This is how you start a movement and you change a culture. Until next episode, I'll see you on the socials.